What's going on, world? Jack of all space, CLT. Back like the phoenix coming out the ashes. I am the beloved one, DJ Spellman. To my left, we have the pride of Africa, Ken Wabibi.
Yes, the one and only pride of Africa, Wabibi. Shout out Malawi. Shout out Malawi.
Big up all the African nations in it. To my right, Puerto Rican Poppy, Banks on the beat.
Is there a touchdown? Blue Water Banks, Banks on the beat. All that. Bad Boy Tires. You know what? I don't ever ask y'all how y'all cars doing, bro.
I mean, we good, man, because you know if we ever have any issues, we're going to 3700 Wilkinson Boulevard.
I would assume so, but you know, I got to make sure y'all good before anything.
Yeah,
you look like you wanted to say something for a second. So I mean, if you hear a noise, you tell me, bro.
I'll let you know.
For all your auto care needs, sure. You know what it is. And today, I mean, every time we bring somebody on, it's a special guest. But for me, this is even more personal. This is one of my brothers, you know, parte Mexico, parte Uruguay. Ooh. Marcelo, Antonio, Peña, what's good, sir?
What's happening, man?
Look, so, I mean, listeners, me and this guy go back. We go way back, I should say. Bullshitting in classes, just a lot of games, man, you know, before the responsibilities, and we kind of lost touch. You know, he's went through some things, and we're going to get to all that, but big up the homie Casey, because that's how we kind of reconnected. He seen me getting my eyebrows done in that, and he's like, you know somebody knows me if they call me Dave. Like, that's old school, because not a lot of people, you know, call me Dave or David.
Right.
So this is one of my brothers, man. I'm delighted to have him here and talk about his story, man. So, you know, big up to you already.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. I'm excited to be here. I got my first tattoo with this man.
in somebody's crib.
Yeah. Shout out to Renda.
Yeah, man. Ooh. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
everybody
throwback. Throwback.
Yes, sir. Man, we appreciate you coming through, man, you know, and coming to tell your story and share that with us, man. You know, we start off every podcast by giving our guests their flowers, and I'm going to start yours off. Certified kidney and wellness coach from Yale University and the Kidney Fund.
American Kidney Fund, yes, sir.
American Kidney Fund, okay. Musician.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of everything.
Dialysis warrior. Podcaster.
21 years of that. My bad. 21 years of that. People got to hear that. 21 years of dialysis.
21 years, podcaster, purveyors of health and the connected, entrepreneur with Purium.
And look, big up Purium.
You know,
we got
on deck.
Product placement in it.
You bought plenty for us today, right? Co-founder and CEO of Beat Finders. Man, you care to go in on any of these?
Yeah, on everything.
Talk to us.
Tell me where you want me to start.
we'll kind of guide you then. So, you know, big up to you. On one front, you know, one of your missions is to help the lower and middle class develop consumer unions to shrink the increasing wealth gap around the world. So very necessary, especially with the new change in office. So big up number 46, man. All right. But, you know, let's really get into it. Another one of your missions is living a holistic lifestyle. But, you know, let's talk about why that's important to you. You had your first hemodialysis treatment December 5th, 2002. End-stage renal disease, FSGS, you've had over 10 major surgeries and procedures. You've almost died a few times because of that.
Many times, man.
Man, so really just take us through the mindset of experiencing all that. Man, let's go ahead, man. You on now.
Yeah, let's get it, man. Honestly, okay. So where this all started, it started on my birthday, on March 21st, 1997. I was diagnosed with focal segmental glomerulosclerosis, and that's the FSGS. That's the one of the most aggressive forms of that disease. And I kind of thought it was cool when I was young because that's the same disease Alonzo Mourning had with the kidney. He had a kidney transplant.
Right.
So I was more aware of it back then. But, man, I didn't know what was going to happen. Man, I was just a baby. I was just a baby when all that happened. And the way the Western medical system is and the way it functions, you know, you just follow the book. They follow the book of, okay, we're going to give you medication to try to slow down the process of the kidneys just failing, and hopefully that works, but it never does. It never does.
So how old were you at this time?
I was 10 years old when I got diagnosed. Okay. I was 13 when, like, they told me, you know, This is enough. Your kidneys are like at 2%. Wow. You need to go on dialysis or have a kidney transplant. That was my fork in the road. So, man, like I said, I didn't know nothing. My mama, she's an immigrant. I'm a first, generation born American. So we just follow. We follow what the doctor said, because the way we get conditioned in this life is that the doctors are the authority. They're almost like God to us. You just listen to everything that they say. So they gave me this dream about just take your medications. Everything's going to be good. You're going to do the transplant. You don't have to worry about dialysis. And so we went through with that. We went through with that. My mother, she was the first one to jump in. And I remember I was on the news. I threw the first baseball pitch at the Knight Stadium because we were trying to raise money. We didn't have no money for the transplant. Mm-hmm. So my mother, she's a blessing. She gave me life twice. Boom. Okay, so that happened. Duke University, 2000, August 30th, 2000. I remember saying goodbye to her. We're going into the operating room, and I just wake up. Man, I wake up with tubes everywhere in my neck, in my groin, just keeping me alive and just getting pumped full of all these medications, And I was there for about 5-6 days, and when I first went to the mirror, it's like I didn't even recognize myself. Because of the medication that they give you, the prednisone, the steroids, I was all bloated. DJ probably remember me. Like, it was like overnight. So that just messed me up, and I went down into a deep, deep depression. And the sad thing is, it was supposed to be a great future for however long, 20 years, however long the kidney was supposed to last. In about maybe like 2 months, 3 months, doctors came in and they said, we got a problem. Your kidney is not working. There's a reoccurrence. The old disease is going into your mother's kidney, and it's just fucking it up. It's destroying it. Mm. There's nothing we can do.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. So you had the transplant.
Yes, sir.
Your mom gave you the kidney. Mm-hmm. And then the disease reoccurred again with the new kidney.
In my mama's kidney. And they never said that. They never said anything about reoccurrence. It was always about, make sure you take your medications because of the rejection. It's going to reject. They never said this was possible. So that's what happened. And I was like, I'm not about to go through another kidney transplant. That shit wasn't easy. I had a thing coming out of my dick. A tube catheter. I was just a baby. I was supposed to be going to high school, playing football with DJ. Mm-hmm. I'm over here fighting for my life. So they put me on dialysis. And when I first started dialysis, I had peritoneal, so that was a tube coming out of my stomach, and then that was just the start. That was the start of a slippery slope, man. And just to give you a quick rundown of how my life was on dialysis when I was in school with DJ, I would literally have to do treatment for 12 hours a day. I would get connected, go to school, and as soon as I get done with school, have to run back home to get the machine ready to reconnect myself. So that wasn't life, I was always getting sick. I never went to school.
Right.
Just like, fuck, I don't know how to go to school. So I dropped out, man. I dropped out of school after a few years because it was just too rough. My grades were just going low. But I did get my GED, so shout out CBCC,
Big up, CP.
Hell yeah, so I did my thing. But, man, in the middle of all that, bro, so much happened, man. So much happened. But I try to live my life, normal, because I did find when I was about 16, 17, the dialysis, I found a little bit of a routine. So it wasn't too chaotic, even though it was crazy. You the human body and the human mind finds a way to adapt. So I adapted, So I reunited with some friends, some old knuckleheads that we don't even really talk anymore, but that's just what it was. We grew up with each other. Then, girls started getting involved, and then just me being young and ignorant and dumb, drugs started getting involved in and me, because I had so much medical problems, I was the pill man. Excuse me, Lord, I'm sorry. But I always had the pills, So I was running the street with my pills. But yeah, man, I know you got questions, so ask me questions, because I can keep going, man.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the part about having all the wires hooked up to you and tubes and stuff hooked up to you. There's a video of you actually doing pull-ups. I gotta big you up on that, doing pull-ups with the tubes on you. Mm-hmm. And you said as well that there was a process where you was, going through depression, and you was did the painkillers. Mm-hmm. Did that lead to other drug use? And was that the lowest part of your life?
Oh, I like that question. I like that question. Let's go to hell. Let's go to hell.
Shit. Let's go.
Brace yourself.
On a Sunday.
So when I was young, what is levels of hell?
That's
many levels of hell, and I experienced many of them. So when I was about 19, 20, 21, I met a girl, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was the first girl that I felt like I said I love you too, and just the whole situation got crazy. It just started to go bad, you know, as far as what I thought it was. But we were both young. Everybody was young, you know, everybody was hurt. So me being on my Klonopin and Xanax and painkillers, Percocet and all that stuff, I was doing my thing. And she was always with me. So, like, there was times I went to dialysis. I would go at 6 in the morning, and she would be in the car waiting for me. And it'd be snowing outside, you know what I'm saying? So I know we had love for each other, but things started to go wrong, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know, you gotta read the book for that and watch the documentary for that shit. But when I mean things got bad at one point in time, because I did get into some drug use, you know what I'm saying? Me being retarded and, I mean, excuse my language, but I was dealing with some cocaine. I sold pills. And I mean, I was lost, man. Like, I feel ashamed a little bit, but now I understand where I was at and I understand where I'm at now, but I don't really beat myself up too much because I'm out of that. I'm out of that mind state. So, but it went very, very bad because in the middle of all that, when I was with her, I had my parathyroid removed. So this surgery, because of dialysis, is very bad. So what that happened with that was the parathyroid started to overreact. If you're on dialysis for a certain period of time, it's just not good. It's just not good for the body and the heart. They say, I remember the doctor comes in, he's like, Marcelo, we got a your blood work came back, and it's not showing up good. We got to, you know, do surgery and take that out. And I'm looking at him like, man, I just had surgery. I just did something the other day, like a few months ago. And I'm like, man, I don't care anymore. And I remember I asked him, I looked at the doctor and I said, is it painful to die this way? Like, because he said you could die. And I remember he laughed. And he was like, yes, it's very painful. Let me tell you what's going to happen. So if we don't do this surgery, it's going to start to, the parathyroid is going to overreact, and it's just going to keep going. Slowly start to eat away the bones. It's going to start eating the bones. And then after it's done with the bones, it's going to go to the muscle. And then when it's done with the muscle, you're just going to be in pain all this time, withering away. It's going to go to the brain. And I'm like, fuck, that do sound painful.
Right.
That sound painful as hell. So I just looked at him and I'm like, oh, I got to tell my mama now. So I told my mama. She was just like, what? Like, ¿qué pasó? ¿Qué estás hablando? You know, just go hard. And I didn't think nothing of it, man. I'm already a soldier. At like 19, 20 years old, I'm already like, I've been through so much that it's just like another surgery. At least I get my anesthesia and my pain meds. So I be in la-la land for a minute. Don't really care because that's what I look forward to, you know, for a minute. I remember I go through surgery. I wake up, man, I'm in so much fucking pain. I'm in the ICU, and it's just crazy. Everything's dark, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, even to this day, my voice is a little bit messed up because of that. And a day goes by, two days go by, now I'm in recovery. And then I start to feel like my neck, it feels tight, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what's going on? Breathing, just relaxing, trying to relax. I remember, beep, I called a nurse. Excuse me, can you come in, please? I need to speak to you. Something's not right. All right, Mr. Penny, hold on one second. How can I help you? Something's wrong with my neck. Can you know, please call the doctor? I don't feel right. Something's wrong. No, it's okay, Mr. Penny. Just relax. You know, this is supposed to happen. Just sit back, relax. We'll be all right. Okay, all right, cool. I'll listen to you. Boom, about an hour later. Boop. Please call the doctor. Something's not right. I my neck, it's like, it's affecting my breathing. Please, Mr. Pena, we told you that's part of the recovery. Just relax. You just got to relax. You're recovering. All right. Okay. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. About 30 minutes past. I'm like, look, call the doctor right now. Something's wrong. Mr. Pena, what do you want? I said, bitch, call the fucking doctor, man. Something's not right. I can see my neck. I can't even breathe now. And I'm sitting up. Like, what are you talking about? Call the doctor. And once you call the doctor and he says that everything's okay, when he sees me face to face, then I'll shut the fuck up. I'll stop. Okay. She didn't know what to say. So whatever. Doctor, he didn't want to come. So they ordered me to get an emergency CAT scan, like 3-4 in the morning. I go down to the CAT scan room. I can't even lay down because now my neck. I could see my neck, bro. I could see my neck. And I couldn't lay down because it was closing my airway, excuse me. So then finally somebody said, just lay on your stomach. Lay on your stomach. Can you do it like that? I'm like doing a plank. I'm like, yeah, I can breathe a little bit. It's still, you know, it's enough. Just hurry up and do it. So as soon as they fucking, they put me through that little donut, boom, they say, oh, stat. Like it's bleeding. And I forgot what it's called. Infiltrate, I don't remember. But the blood was just leaking out and it was not closed. The suture was open inside of me. So I'm dying. I'm literally dying with blood just closing my airway. And then I just see like 5 nurses come, you know what I'm saying? They give me a whole bunch of shots to put me to sleep, but I'm not asleep. They put this damn breathing tube down my throat, all the way into my diaphragm, this feeding tube up my nose. I'm about to fuck everything up. And I just remember that shit. I'm looking at everybody like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Foom, foom, foom. And then foom, it's silence. It's everything silent. I could have died. I could have died if all I know, you know. But the next thing I remember when I became conscious, I was in the ICU. And the room was just orange. And I could hear this machine. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm looking and I could feel, like, I'm not breathing for myself. The machine is breathing for me. I touch the machine, I'm looking at that shit, I'm like, oh my God. And then there's a feeding tube in me, and I've been like that for like 2-3 days. You know what I'm saying? I just remember that, man. I could see the silhouettes of the doctors just talking about me. And I even drew this, man. I should have brought that drawing. But I was in there for like 3-4 days. They're feeding me, they're taking care of me. Every time I needed something or I was in pain, I would have to write what I wanted. And it was crazy because my mama still has those letters. So you would see my letter being like, and I remember I would be like, don't tell my ex, tell that bitch I don't want to. You could actually see it just going like that. Or like, I'm in pain, I want to. It just go like that. And that shit was rough, man. And I remember when the nurse came to take that out of me, she's like, I ain't going to lie to you. It's going to be painful. But, you know, you don't want that. You don't want to keep that in you forever. You want to be able to breathe. And she's like, all right, we're going to do it in 3, 2, one. She grabs 2 hands and goes like this. And I'm like, fuck you. That's the first thing I said. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And she's like, it's okay. You know what I mean? That's not the first time that's happened. But that's not it. You know, this one's going to hurt too. So yeah, man, that was deep. That hell was a level of hell. But you know what I mean? It got worse because I stopped talking to that girl because she was around during all that time. And then I just went into my bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Because as far as trying to make money, you know what I'm saying? Doing something that we all think is cool, being a dope boy. And I mean, because I was doing that. I would go to strip clubs, make money. So she became a stripper. So that's, you know, now we came in contact with each other because I had... I'm gonna get arrested, man.
Statute of limitations.
I'm talking about all this stuff I've done.
Statute of limitations, I think.
That's all part of the trauma of it. Hey,
it is. You know what? My angels got my back, so fuck it. So, anyways, man. So she hits me up. She's working at over there on the east side at crazy, whatever. She's working over there at that place. I never liked that place. I had a homeboy that died over there that got murdered. So, anyways, man, I never liked that parking lot. I met up with her. And I always told her, like, it's just about business, man. Just get whatever it is that you want, and that's it. But slowly, man, slowly, because that was the first girl I said, I love you, man. Like, I had love for that girl, and then to see her turn into this, it was just like, fuck. Like, you breaking my heart. Like, why am I doing this? So, and the sex was good, man. To be honest with you, the sex was good. Like, we both had good sex. But, so, point of me saying all that, there was things that were unresolved between me and her, and I just wanted to know the truth. I've always said, I don't care if Jesus Christ told me that you did this. I want to hear from your mouth. And she did. She told me. But when we were talking about that, it was just a bad situation. I was on powder. I was on Klonopin. I was on all this stuff smoking. I had to go to dialysis at that time. It was at 5 in the morning. We're doing all this, me and her. And dialysis is calling me. Marcella, where you at? You supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Da-da-da-da. You need to stop doing this. And then I'm just like, man, I just had this surgery that almost killed me. 2 weeks after I had this that almost killed me, this kidney that I had, they left it inside of me. So 2 weeks after this, this almost killed me. In the same year, they even told my mama, he's not going to survive this. You got to get his funeral and all that shit handled because he's not going to make it, but I did. So that all that happened, and then this happened with this girl, and I'm just like, dialysis, cheating, everybody stabbed me in the back. Oh, my God. What the, man, fuck this. What the fuck is the point? Like, I'm barely alive. No one is real. I feel like I'm the only real one, and everybody's just bitch. You know what I'm saying? Everybody turned. So I said, you know what? All right, bitch, you want to do this? I'm going to show you. I go into the fucking bathroom. I grab my knife, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to slice my knife. I'm just going to slice my arm. For the ones that don't know, I got a fistula here. That's where I do dialysis now. That's a big-ass vein that has blood just pumping through it. Let me see your hand.
Yeah. I see. I feel that. The blood's going through that vein. It's pumping through. See that.
So.
And that's how you do your dialysis.
Yeah, I stick myself with some needles, big-ass needles. I should bring some needles.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I was like, okay, you want to feel pain? I'm gonna do this in front of you. Because I was in the bathroom. I was laying down. I was sitting on the toilet like this, thinking of everything with the knife like this, just barely scratching like this. Just like, do it. And someone's telling me, don't do it. Don't fucking do it. Because once you do it, you can't stop. You're not going to be able to stop. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm tired. I'm crying. I'm tired. And then when I was about to like really do like that, the phone rings, bro. The phone rings. And when I answer the phone, man, hold on, man. When I answer the phone, it's my nephew, man. It was my nephew, man. He's 7 years old. And he's on his way to school. Like, what's up, Tito? I'm like, what's up, man? What's up, baby boy? What's going on, man? What you doing? I'm like, oh, nothing, man. Ain't doing nothing. I'm just chilling, man. What's up? Oh, no, I'm on my way to school. You all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm all right. All right, and then all right, see you later. And I'm like, boom. I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. And I just left. I just mushed her out the fucking way, and I just left. I almost got into a few car crashes. At that point in time, I had a 1986 Caprice Classic, a box Chevy, and I just almost hit a whole bunch of people, but I didn't care. My heart was broken, and I was still hurt, but I didn't want to do it like that. So I had a whole bunch of pain pills, hardcore pain pills, Opana, for the ones that don't know. That's some serious shit. I took everything, Klonopin, everything I had, more than probably like 30 pills. I went in the bathroom and I just had a picture of my nephew. And the good thing is that my parents were home, they knocked the door down, and then I just remember I'm in the hospital. And I get sent to the mental ward. You know, they treat me though. They treat me. And I went to the mental ward for like 10 days just talking, and, you know, you're not supposed to do that, you can't do that type of stuff. So I learned that. I learned, you know, you need to calm down. But that was a dark, very, very, very dark spot, man. Very dark place that I visited. And but I'll tell you this. The great thing about darkness is that when you in that darkness and someone opens like a crack, like a door,
They would see that light.
They would see that shit. So my thing was, all right, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got family in Houston. Let me go to Houston. And then boom. The psychiatrists are like, we're going to let you out earlier, but you have to promise us you're going to go to Houston. So I was like, all right, I'm leaving. As soon as you let me out, I'm gone. And that's what it was. I'm gone. And hey.
So that leads me to my next question, though, because you're really big on self-knowledge. So how does self-knowledge help you get through your recovery?
I mean, self-knowledge and knowledge of self is everything. Because if you don't have love for yourself, one, and just educate yourself on what it is that you are, you lost in this life, man. Yeah. You lost in this, you know. Religion is cool, But they only scratch the surface. You know what I mean? It's you got to incorporate everything: diet, breath work, just everything, meditation, and really loving yourself. Because when you love yourself, you're not gonna do drugs, you're not gonna smoke, because you love yourself. You know what I'm saying? And now, dude, there's been times where I'm driving like late night and I really think about it. Like, oh, I hug myself. I'm like, I got you, baby boy. I'm got you. Like, you're not gonna go back to that. And I'm sorry that I did that to myself, because I was tearing myself up, man. I really was, man. So, yeah, self-knowledge is huge. It really is.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's good to hear that you're in a better place now, to come from there. Like you said, levels of hell. We went to the depths with you, right?
For real, man.
You know, shout out to you for making it through that, man, and being here to tell this story, man, and be able to inspire other people. Thank you. You know, to fast forward, you're basically like a superhero to come from down under and be where you at now. Can you tell us about Perium and the Holistic Justice League and how they had an impact on your life?
Absolutely, man. So before I get into that, the Houston part, that happened first. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then Perium and all that stuff came after. So when I was in Houston, and just to show you how God works, man. So my thing was about music. I love music. Everything with music. My dad, you know, he did his thing. He actually has 2 45-inch records, because that's what he did for a living when we were in our Chicago days. So anyways, I had a friend that came to live with me here in Houston at that time. He came from Charlotte, and he knew people that me and DJ know. You know, a shout out to my boy DJ Salute, Luis El Campo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's my brother. So we met through him, you know, and I really don't talk to that other dude, but he was a very important piece in the puzzle. Because when I met DJ Salute, he was doing his thing as far as DJing, and we were all just babies in the game. And then I met my other brother, Archer Rose, you know, a.k.a. J. Roy, the author. So as soon as we all met, we, like, connected. Like, it was chemistry, boom. We were working at Media Tech Institutes, because they're, you know, audio engineers, and, you know, they do that. You know, they were really doing that big back then. So we all started working with each other, and we created this company called Beat Finders, me and my brother. That was his brainchild, Archer Rose. Beat Finders TV, and it was beatfinders.net. I don't think that website works anymore, but that's what it was. So that, if y'all look that up, you'll go to YouTube, go to Beat Finders TV, Instagram, and you'll see. We worked with so many people. I'm not going to name drop, but
I'll do it for you. Bun B, Lil Kiki.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you feel free to get into that.
Scarface, yeah, Scarface, yeah, uh-huh. We was on everything, man. It was just crazy, man, because when you could provide value to, it doesn't matter who it is, provide value to the artist or to the entrepreneur, whatever, and they're going to see you, you know, and they'll work with you. So I grew up listening to SPM and,
you got to break it down for everybody to know what SPM is.
South Park Mexican, man, you know
throwback.
Shout out to the man. And, you know, that's a whole little situation in itself. But, that, I mean, just a whole bunch of it. I was on stage with Manny Fresh, man. I'll drop that name.
I was
a hot boy back in the day.
Humble brag.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? And we just really put a footprint. Like, our name became solidified in the history of Houston. You know, to this day, people know what Beat Finders is and what we were doing with that, you know. Not to go too deep into that, because that's a whole other podcast in itself. But the reason why that kind of started to dwindle or fall out or whatever was because I, in my mind and in my heart and in my soul, in the essence of everything, I was like, all right, you can do this for now. And once it starts, like, getting picked up and going, You need to focus on your health, Marcelo, because, you know, you no one understands what you're going through. No one understands, really. They can understand a little bit, but not fully. So I had to work on finding a place where I could train. I felt like I needed the right environment, the right food, fasting, meditation, and all this stuff combined, and I can heal myself. Like, I can really repair the kidneys, because as it stands, I have a life sentence on dialysis. And I don't accept that. I just don't. You know what I mean? The spirit is too strong, bro. The spirit is way too strong. So I don't believe that. And then that's when I went to Hawaii. You know what I mean? That was a whole other thing. I did 8 days of a water fast in Hawaii. Just water with crystals. That's where I got these crystals from, right here, from Hawaii. Shout out to Dr. Kassar.
Shout out.
Yeah, he really, you know what I'm saying, just elevated my mind, and it took me to a whole nother level. And because of that, I was actually going to move to Hawaii and work with him, because he really was impressed with my editing work with Beefinders and all the stuff that I was doing. So all that worked in my favor, and then boom, now back in Charlotte. And things go to hell again now, because Purium's coming up. Now things go to hell again, because I was a little depressed because the Hawaii thing fell through. I gave everything up and with Beefinders, you know, everything. I moved from Houston to go to Hawaii, and I came back to Charlotte. And all the stuff that happened in Charlotte was just like, all right, well, I'm here, man. Whatever, just make the best of it. I slowly fell back into my bullshit, a little bit of pills, a little bit of this, this, and that, because I'm by myself. When you by yourself, you know, we're creatures that need that connection with other like-minded individuals. Right. If not, you start, I don't know, man, you start doing other stuff. So I did that, man. I started to get back into drugs. I started getting into my pills. And it wasn't even me going into the streets. It was, excuse me, doctor, can I get some pain medicine? Oh, here, yeah, sure. Boom, boom, boom. They give me whatever. Oxycodone, Oxycontin, doesn't matter what it is. I would pop it. So because of that, and getting sick, because when you do these drugs, your immune system gets knocked down. You become weak. So I got sick. I got infections in my gut, in my stomach. So boom, protocol. Like vancomycin, that's a very, very hardcore antibiotic, which I'm allergic to, but I had to get it through the mouth. So all these different antibiotics, like, you know what I'm saying, hardcore antibiotics, 5 different blood pressure medications, 3 different benzodiazepines, endless amount of Dilaudid, endless amount of Phenergan, that's synthetic heroin, you know what I'm saying? So this day, this arm is destroyed because all my veins from heroin use, not my, like, street use, but hospital stuff, but... Mm-hmm. So all that happened, and my gut became so inflamed and so bad for years, for like 3-4 years, that last year in 2019, on my mama's birthday, the first time I've been to the beach, Myrtle Beach, in like, I don't know, man, like 5, 6, 7, 8 years, like I felt just something in my stomach. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is this? In the middle of the night. And then, boom, like, oh, shit. Oh my God. And I'm trying not to panic, but I know I've been able to save myself so many times because of the intuition, like, oh, something's wrong. You got to go to the hospital now, mm-hmm. You know? And many, many times, if you didn't find this, you know, you would have died or whatever. So it got worse. I try to go to the bathroom, ain't nothing coming out, but that's how I felt, like I had to, you know, go to the bathroom. I tell my mom, I got to go to the hospital. Then now it's like, oh shit. Like, this is very painful. I'm throwing up. I'm trying to go to the bathroom. I'm screaming. I'm cussing and screaming. Go get rushed to the emergency room. And they're like, oh, shit, your intestines just perforated. They just blew up inside of you. My intestines blew up inside of me with shit all inside of the body. If people don't, people got to understand how dangerous that is. So now I'm screaming. I'm like yelling in pain. They're like, we need to do emergency surgery because, you know, you're dying. Like, you're dying. The doctor's even looking at me like, I'm sorry this is happening to you. Getting stuck with IVs. Boom, boom, boom. Sticking me with IVs. But I'm so dehydrated. And the body shuts down. When it's going through trauma, it's like the veins have a mind of their own. And they contract. They get scared. Right. So there's no vein getting in. And they sticking me everywhere. Like, everywhere. Bruh, I swear to God, I'm not even exaggerating. 22 IVs later, they like, oh, shoot, we can't do anything. I'm in the IV room. I mean, the OR room. The nurse is looking at me like, just pay attention to me. Look me in my eyes. It's okay. It's going to be over soon. It's going to be all right. I'm like, what you mean? Like, what the fuck do you mean? Just stop. Like, we need to do this. No, we need to do this. People holding me down. And it's like at least 10 nurses. I could feel the doctor touching my groin area to try to get the vein in. I mean, get the IV in the vein, and finally, they get one in the foot, like in my toe, I think it was. And they put the mask on me. The nurse is like, it's going to be over. It's going to be over soon. And then, boom, I'm asleep again. It's all quiet. It's like sometimes you wish you would have died. Because even though it's peaceful now and you don't feel the pain, it's not over. It's just dark. It's just dark. And you're going to wake up. You're going to wake up and it's going to be even worse than it was when you, you know what I'm saying, it happened. And that's exactly what happened. It was worse. I had these staples all like this. And they had to put an ostomy bag for 3 months. And that's what I was fighting for because I didn't want to have no ostomy bag. That's basically having a diaper hanging from your stomach. And my intestines were literally hanging out of my stomach. And I would have to just use the bathroom like that. And my heart goes out to people that, that have to go through that. I respect you with all my heart because I had to learn how to live life like that for a little bit. But I say that to say this. Even though all that happened, the spirit, my spirit was like, it's all right, you're going to recover. You're going to recover. Just continue to do the breath work. Continue with the mission, Marcelo. Continue with the mission. You got to help people. Everybody's out there hurting. Everybody's anxious and depressed and sad. You are the light. Show them. Because somebody helped me, so now I got to help them. And when I said that, I was like, all right, God, I said this out loud. Because I felt like I was forsaken, man. So much has happened. And literally, I was like, God. It was like Jesus on the cross. Like, God, you forsaken your son? Are you forsaking me? Like, you know, literally, it's like, boom. And when I said that, I'm like, don't think like that. Don't think like that. It's too easy to think like that. Okay? How can I help people? All right, I'll make the smoothies. Because I train as much as I can. I make my little smoothies with spirulina, chlorella, and all this stuff. And I knew a lot about diet. That's why, because of the stuff I've been learning on my own. No one taught me this. I had to learn on my own from other people. And then one day, because I follow a lot of people that I find interesting. You know what I'm saying? If you're interesting, I'm going to follow you and watch you. So, boom. This one guy named Bitman Buddha, he puts a message on Instagram talking about, we're looking for driven people that want to work, that, you know, that really want to do good in life, whatever, whatever. I'm like, I literally out loud said, how can I make money doing this, God? And then I saw that message. And I'm like, all right, fuck it, let me see. I message him. Oh, yeah, he's in India, but he's going to come back and we'll talk. All right, cool. So we talking when he comes back. I still didn't know nothing about the company, but I knew that the ingredients, you know what I'm saying? Read the ingredients for me, man. They on that bottle, the ingredients are all organic, all kosher, no glyphosate, all the stuff that you would want.
Break that down, though, Marcelo. You said no glyphosate.
So glyphosate, okay, glyphosate. If you eat food like McDonald's, processed food and cereals, things that's non-GMO or that has genetically modified stuff, then you have what is called glyphosate or heavy metals, you know, because of the world that we live in. It's stuck. It's lodged in the gut. So it's like this goo that's preventing anybody from absorbing any nutrients into the body, because that's what happens in the intestines when you eat the food, right? So the glyphosate is just preventing that. You can eat superfoods and all this stuff, organic, but if you got the glyphosate, which everybody does, then you're just not getting it, and things start to happen like colitis or inflammation of the gut, fibromyalgia, leaky gut syndrome, high blood pressure, the list goes on, you know what I mean, when you mess up the gut. So when I started to learn about that, and I already knew about that, there's no other way to get glyphosate and heavy metals and this stuff out of your system. Once you have it in there, it's there. You know what I'm saying? So when I started to learn about this company and this product called Biomedic, which I have some right here, that is, from what I know, the only thing on the market proven with clinical trials and study and data to remove about 74-75% of glyphosate. So boom, you take that, you do that, and then when you drink this stuff, that's when you get in all that living enzymes and all the light energy from source. Because that's what I always say, man, to people. I've never been so spiritual in my life, but I've always had that spirit in me. But when I started to eat, I call it high frequency nutrient dense foods. Okay, because you're a living being. Everybody's a living being that emits electricity. Electricity's flowing through you. So if you eat dead food, like a standard American diet, then that's why you feel dead. You feel low. You don't feel high. You don't feel energetic. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this all the time. I feel like a little kid because of this shit. You know what I mean? So when I tried the products and I invested in myself. It's like $10.50 a day, you know what I mean, for 30 days. Boom. It's called the ultimate lifestyle transformation, and that's what it does. Guaranteed. If you think it doesn't, it's a 60-day money gap back guarantee. So I was just blessed to find this company, and not just the products and the food, because when I became involved with them, the Holistic Justice League was the team that I got partnered up with just through the grace of just everything, you know what I'm saying? Because Purium it's like the umbrella, you know, and there's different squads. I'm part of the Holistic Justice League. You have another one called Awakening Champions. You know, I think there's a dude here in Charlotte from Awakening Champions, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, so that's network marketing done right, because that's what I am, you know? And that's the only company that... or only business that I could do whatever it is that I want to. Literally, I make money from my phone. Like right now, y'all want to make some money? We can make some money off the phone, man. So, yeah, bro, it's a blessing. Everything is a blessing, and I'm grateful that things happen the way that they happen, and I'll say this, and then on this. That's why I have the authority, man, and the conviction to say and stand up the way that I'm standing up and saying this, because no one can tell me shit, man. This is a feeling. It's not a blind belief. It's the feeling. ¿Me entiendes?
Ya tú sabes, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, get the feeling.
We keep it on that tip, though, man. So your Instagram is definitely a place where people need to go for this kind of inspiration daily. A good laugh. You know, shout out to your vocals, man. My boy be singing all the time on it. And then once again, knowledge of self, man. But I want to get into two specific posts. So the first one comes from March 18th, 2020, and it says, change the story you've written in your head about yourself. Speak on that, man.
The story that I've written about myself.
Mm. Yeah. It says, change that story.
Yeah, well, the story that I had was I had limiting beliefs. Now I'm limitless, bro.
I
really am. I've tapped into something that's like, it's endless. I just have to be careful, because you got to understand that the mind is a supercomputer. This body that we all have is just very enhanced technology. So you got to be careful. Don't push yourself too much. You are limitless, but there are parameters you have to stay in. You know what I mean? Yes, sir.
All right. Then the next one is from October 28th, 2017. And I fuck with this one heavy. It says, don't live the same year 75 times and call it a life. Damn, my boy.
Yeah,
speak on that one.
Yes, sir. Because that's what we all do, man. We all get mad at other people and down on ourselves because just another year or just another birthday. We don't even celebrate our birthdays. And I was like that for many years. But it's, what are you doing to change the narrative? What are you doing? Because ain't nobody else going to change. Nobody give a fuck. Don't nobody care about you, really. They do when they see how much you care about other people. And how much you can, and the service you provide with a genuine heart and being authentic. But if you just whining and complaining and woe is me, then nobody cares.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. What it is.
So I want to get into something real quick. So can you educate some of our listeners about this country? Some may have not heard of it before, Uruguay.
Uruguay.
Get them right.
What's up? That's my family, man. The sun. Mm-hmm. The sun with Celestia, you know what I mean? The blue. And for people that don't know Uruguay people, they're very emotional, you know what I'm saying? Very just loud. They're like Spanish Jamaicans, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Big up family.
Yeah, drinking our mate, you know what I'm saying? Smoking our cigars, man. I love my culture. I love everything about it. Uruguay. If you don't know about it, you know what I'm saying, look it up. Montevideo, shout out to all my family, man. I mean, my dad grew up on the coast, you know what I mean? I visited Uruguay one time. We were supposed to go next year in March, but because of all this pandemic stuff, maybe. It's still a maybe, but yeah, man, Uruguay, yeah. It's the love. It's the love for love.
All right.
Yeah.
So now, man, we've reached that time. It's the favorite segment of our Jack of All Spades Nation. It's called Top 5 Dead or Alive. So, Marcelo, what are the top 5 things that a person needs to achieve a higher sense of self?
I feel like breath work. You got to learn how to breathe. People don't know how to breathe out there, man. Look up Wim Hof or Buteyko method. B-U-T-E. KYO, if I'm not mistaken. That's huge, man. It really is. And because breath work will help you combat any virus, any ailment, you know, raising the pH levels in the blood. You just become unstoppable. Meditation is huge. All this stuff is simple, man. Exercise, proper diet, specifically electric food. That's what Dr. Sebi talks about, or high-frequency food. You know, you want that living enzymes. And
not to cut you off, when you talk about high-frequency food, you mean like non-alkaline type food? Like what's...
So what I mean by high-frequency food, so it's like this. If the food is living, like let's say there's a plant in here and it's living, right? There's this machine that you can actually hook up to the plant and it'll start playing music. So that means it has a frequency. Everybody's playing music, you know what I mean? Because everybody's just vibrating at a certain frequency. So if I were to take that same machine and put it to like some Oreo cookies, that shit ain't going to do nothing. If anything, it's going to scream like, I need help. Yeah. It's not going to sing to me the way the plant was singing, or mushrooms or whatever. So then what I mean is if you cook the mushrooms, you'll kill the frequency. You'll kill the electricity inside the mushroom. So you want to be able to eat as much of that electricity as you can.
So kind of raw per se?
Yeah, you could do raw, but that's why the thing is, it's hard, man. It's hard when you do a raw vegan diet, because I've done that. You could become malnourished, you know what I mean? There's a lot to that, you know what I mean? But that's why I call this futuristic space food, because this is biodegradable. Biodegradable means that bad. Purium is going plastic free in 2021, because they really believe in ending human suffering. So that biodegradable bag literally means if you throw that in the grass on the ground, it's going to degrade. It's going to just dissolve. You know what I mean? So all that's in that container is living food. Because of the science behind it, that is next level shit. So if you want to level up and you really are serious about it, like hit me up. Hit me up and let me know, because that right there is the truth. And I'm about to share this with my brothers right now. They about to taste somebody.
About to take a shot.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, well, shit, now that you're talking about it, shout out the social so people that are listening can tap in with you.
Cello Effect, CELOAFFECT on all social media platforms. Also, the Holistic Justice League on Instagram, Facebook. And yeah, that's just what it is. TikTok, everything.
Definitely check into the vocals, man. I gotta
get better at that, man. My thing is I do so much on my own that I'm always looking and willing to collab with people, because I'm a powerhouse on my own, man. Like I really am. I'm a business owner. I edit, I film, I sing. I do everything, man, everything. So when I meet like-minded minds and individuals, I mean, look at this place, man. Like it just, you know, it makes the thing happen faster when you have more people that have the same mission.
No doubt.
Yeah, for real.
No doubt. Well, man, look, I already knew coming into this after we spoke, man, it was going to be the most inspirational episode today, man. And I don't think you disappointed. Like when people listen to this, they probably going to hit us in the DMs like they doing, like, yo, we need to hear more about this guy. Because the story was just so powerful, man. But
it's a summary, man. Real talk.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the movie and the documentary and the book coming out soon.
Yeah.
Like people can really get into go through the other stages of hell that you went through. That's, you know, there was a story that you didn't want to talk about, but I'll leave it at that, with the X and a knife and a leg. But we ain't going to talk too much.
I was talking about the mic after.
Yeah.
Real talk, I almost lost my leg because of this chick, bro. I almost lost my leg.
But you know what I'm saying? Man ain't going to say too much, man. Yeah, but Jack of All Space Nation, it's near that time, man. You heard the words of my boy Marcelo, Cello Effect on IG. Man, but y'all know where y'all can find us at, man. Anchor.fm for all the streaming platforms. But of course, you don't have to go to Anchor. You can go straight to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify for the audio individuals. Of course, YouTube. Shout out Jay Marlo behind the scenes, man. Never forget Marlo.
Marlo.
Sure.
But as always, I am the beloved one.
It's YBB, proud of Africa, one time for Malawi. Malawi.
Yes, sir. One time for me, Banks Blue Water Banks. One time for your boy, right? Fat Boy Tires, all that automotive needs, man.
And then last but not least, one time for the one time, my boy Marcelo Pena, man. Like,
yeah,
family.
I appreciate y'all, man. For real. We're going to end it off with some Palo Santo. We came in here blessing this place. Now we're going to leave blessing it.
True. Sure. And we about to get straight to the drink, man. So. Yeah. you know.
Hit me up. Let me know, man.
Malik Taylor. If you don't know who that is, man, big up Fife Dog. You already know what it is, man. Tribe Called Quest, Linden Boulevard, Queens, New York, man. Mm. And like he once said, tell your mother, tell your father, send a telegram. And we out.